Now I've got a really special guest, and this is just really an interesting thing to sit across the opposite side of Brian Noonan. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Karen.
Thank you for hanging out.
Thanks for having me. It's been so long since I've seen you and been in this studio. It seems like seconds ago.
Seems like just.
Well, I'm not used to seeing you from this angle.
Yeah. You know, How do I look?
Kind of about the same.
About the same
as I remember from looking at you for 7 years from that seat to this seat.
You look shorter.
Yeah, I think it's the seat.
Yeah.
I always jack the seat up over there so I have a looming presence. Even though it's radio, I want people to feel the majesty when I'm over there.
Yes, and you do a good job of that majesty.
Well, thank you.
So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about this Michelle Wolf. I didn't even know who she was, but I did listen and watch her Correspondents' Dinner talk. And Cash, can we play a little bit of it for the listeners who maybe didn't see it? And we're playing the clean version or the clean portions. Let's hear it.
And, of course, Megyn Kelly. What would I do without Megyn Kelly? You know, probably be more proud of women. Megyn Kelly got paid $23 million by NBC. Then NBC didn't let Megyn go to the Winter Olympics. Why not? She's so white, cold, and expensive, she might as well be the Winter Olympics. And by the way, Megyn, Santa's black. The weird old guy going through your chimney was Bill O'Reilly.
Okay, so...
You guys gotta stop putting Kellyanne on your shows.
Uh-oh, here we go.
All she does is lie. If you don't give her a platform, she has nowhere to lie. It's like that old saying, if a tree falls in the woods, how do we get Kellyanne under that tree? I'm not suggesting she gets hurt, just stuck.
Okay. Brian, you watched it, and tell me what you think about it. Tell me what you think about it, and tell me what you think about the reactions that you saw people have to that.
All right, first of all, I think the whole idea of the Correspondents' Dinner is a bad idea. The correspondents are supposed to be there covering the White House and those politicians, and while it's not set up as an adversarial thing, sometimes it becomes adversarial. So I think this whole, let's all hobnob and pretend we're best friends, is goofy.
All right.
That being said... That dinner is a roast. And if you think back to roasts, like the Dean Martin roasts, now the language may have changed, but the intent is to burn the people on that dais. Burn meaning make fun of them.
Right.
And roasts are cruel. That's the whole purpose of a roast. It's different than going to see somebody do their stand-up routine. You know, doing an act in a club. A roast, you try to be as mean and cutting as possible. That's what it's set up for. The friars do it all the time. And those, you know, they're not for the weak. And you have to be a certain sort of comic to do it. I think the reaction is a little bit hypocritical. I think the reaction is a symptom of what we're going through in this country, where everybody is overly sensitive on both sides. This is not a Republican or Democrat thing. That's why... A lot of comics won't play college campuses anymore.
Right.
Because college kids have become so judgmental and so... And I see this sometimes in my own daughter, who should know better coming from
a comedic household. Right.
You know, and you grew up in the same thing.
I did.
It's a different mentality. And, you know, for people to go, it's not funny. No, you're leaving out two words from that sentence. It's not funny to me. And it's okay if something is not funny to you, but that doesn't mean it's not funny. That means, for whatever reason, you're not amused by it. If you don't like mean humor, you're definitely not going to like any roast.
Brian, you're a stand-up, and you do all different kinds of things. You do MC work. You do acting work. You obviously do radio. When you prepare for a roast... What are you thinking about? How is your preparation different, say, than thinking up a comedy routine? And you talked about it. You're actually trying to criticize and
you find, and I'm not good at roast. I can't do roast. Some of my friends are great at, because they can write that really mean, biting.
Do you have a hard time being mean?
I have a hard time being that mean.
Yes.
And it's not that I'm not. It's just you have to walk that line, because if you just went up and were saying mean things, that's not the point. The line that got the most response from Michelle Wolf's thing was about the smoky eye and Sarah Huckabee burning the truth and taking the ashes and making it into makeup. That's a multi-level joke. And then she called back the old Maybelline line. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. She changed it. So you have to be able to make take the mean and also add the funny.
You know what's interesting is I don't even think that's that mean.
I don't either.
You're just saying she's got smoky eyes because she wears like kind of
she
like
does.
Underline of her eyes.
She wears a lot of eye makeup.
And that's not even that's not even mean. It's not like we're saying she's fat or she's stupid. You know, saying you're saying that Kelly Conway is a liar, that is mean too. But a lot of people are saying that.
Right. It's nothing. It's nothing that hasn't been said before. The problem is you've got, you know, different groups. And listen, if you're a woman and you go to a roast and you know you're up there, they're going to make comments about you, your appearance, or you being a woman, or something. That's part of the deal. If you buy the ticket, you've got to play the game. And if you don't want that to happen, for people to say, well, Sarah Sanders sat up there and she's a mom and she, yes, but they weren't talking about her kids. They were making jokes based on her position as the press secretary for this president. That's what they were making. She was making jokes about. And every year there's an uproar over this. You know, it doesn't matter who does. When Stephen Colbert did it, when John Stewart did it, whenever anybody does it, there's uproar after it because he's so mean. Yes.
Do you know what I would do if I were one of the people that I know? If I was going to be roasted, I would be laughing my butt off.
You have to.
Because even if I found it really offensive and I was really upset by it and it really did not make me look like a good person, I would laugh just to make it seem that I had a sense of humor about it. Because when they weren't laughing, I kind of thought they should. That makes them look worse.
Mm-hmm. Then you're a spoilsport.
Right.
You don't have a sense of humor. And again, everybody has a right to not think those jokes are funny. That's fine. But don't take it to a level where it's an assault on women or it's an assault on this country or suddenly our freedoms are at stake because someone made fun of somebody. Hey, that's what we're supposed to do as comics. That's what we're supposed to do. Any social satirist is going to do that. You tell truth to power.
Well, and
your
little,
version of the
there's
truth.
There's a little truth in all of that stuff.
Yes.
That's what makes it funny to
Come
me.
Come on. Anybody who watches the news knows. And this, listen, when the Democrats were in power, there were people making jokes at their expense too. So you have to be able to look at the emperor and say they have no clothes. You have to be able to do that with some sort of humor involved. And that's what this whole thing is about.
Brian, thank you for joining me. And
you're welcome.
And that you get like overtime now, I think, or is this double, triple overtime?
Listen, if I get paid for my show, I'm going to be happy. You know, sticking around for an extra few minutes. Good luck now with the calls from people who are like, he doesn't, turn off.
Well,
text.
You'll be gone.
Turn off the text screen.
Yeah, you'll be gone, and you don't have to listen to it. Luke,
and again, well, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that's not funny or that's not, and
right.
You know, we shouldn't always have to say, hey, it's just a joke. Everybody knew that Michelle Wolf was telling jokes. That's what she does. That's what she did when she wrote for Trevor Noah. That's what she does in her stand-up special. That's what she does on her new show on Netflix. She tells jokes.
Right.
You like them, you don't like them, okay. But she's not, you know, she's not single-handedly dismantling America.
No, I don't think so. We have other people who do that, and they're mostly elected.
Right. There's a lot of people doing it. People, and if we, you know, if we start really cracking down on people who tell jokes, it's a bad way to go.
No, it's a slippery slope, as they say.
That's what they say.
Brian,
all right, have a good rest of the show.
Thank you so much for joining me. If you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about, 312-981-7200. I'm going to have Tommy Dreesen, stand-up comic from Chicago. He's going to be calling in from California, and I think he's going to weigh in on it too. Now, he comes from a different standpoint. He's an older stand-up comic back in the days when things were clean, so I'm going to be interested if he has the same reaction or a different one. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN. We're talking comedy, and we're talking about, did Michelle Wolf cross over the line in a correspondence dinner? We talked to Brian Noonan, a local stand-up comic, and we have one of Chicago's finest stand-ups calling in from California. Hi, Tommy Dreesen. How are you?
I'm fine, Karen. How are you doing?
I appreciate you taking some time away from your precious Cubs game. I know you wanted to start watching it, but we appreciate you weighing in here. So, Tom, you've been a comedian for how long? How many years has it been?
This is my 48th year in show business.
Okay. So you've seen the changes over the years. Tell me what you think about this issue. Did she cross the line?
You know, first of all, I'm an ex-GI. I'm a strong supporter of the First Amendment. You can say whatever you want to say. You can do whatever you want to say. That's what this is all about, the First Amendment. You can, if you don't like what people say, you can turn it off. You can not listen to it. You can walk out, do whatever you want to do. But there's some pride that I take in this profession that I've been in for 48 years. If I had to do that correspondence dinner, if I was asked, I would be thinking, how would Johnny Carson do this? How would George Burns? How would Jack Benny? How would Bob Hope? How would some of the comedians that I admired, how would they handle this dinner? And I doubt they would use any of that material. But the young people today were broken in on that material. You know, they go to comedy clubs, you know, when they're 19, 20, 21 years old, and that's the type of material that's being done in all the clubs across the land. And so they say, oh, that is comedy. That's considered comedy. You know, keep in mind when I started out, everywhere you went in America, people say, what do you do for a living? You say, I'm a stand-up comedian. The next question out of their mouth was, oh, yeah, have you ever been on Johnny Carson? If you hadn't been on Johnny Carson in the eyes of America, you weren't a comedian. How'd you get that show? You had to write material that made grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, and the kids laugh. If you worked blue, and you know your father was a comedian, and right. You know, I think he would have the same reaction I'm having. You know, we had to learn how to make everybody, you know, keep it, you know, tasteful. You know, that's what, you know, that the way we had to work. Then along came cable television, and you could work as filthy as you wanted to work, and come to find out that the filthier people work, the more sitcoms they got on.
That's funny. Do you think, Tommy, it's harder to work clean?
Oh, absolutely. I can write those kind of jokes all day long. Let me tell you a funny story. I work at the Laugh Factory on weekends. I try out new material in Hollywood all the time. And it's young black, young white, young Latino, young Asian, you know, and the millennials. And I'm always doing clean material in front of them. And it works real well. But one night I was at the Laugh Factory and two young comedians were around the corner and they didn't know I was there. And they were talking about me. One of them said, you know, Tom Dreesen's here. The other one said, oh yeah, you know, he's old school. And the other comedian said, what do you mean he's old school? He said, well, he doesn't use the F word. And the other comedian said, he doesn't use the F word. What does he use for adjectives? And I stuck my head around the corner and I said, adjectives.
That's really funny. You know, so going back to Michelle Wolf and some of the material, I mean, is it the fact that it was blue or was it the fact that it wasn't funny or is it the fact that it was mean-spirited? And I guess I'm assuming you've done roasts your whole life and you've seen the best roasts. You probably watched Rickles do it. You probably watched Dean Martin do it. So what was it? What about this was not appropriate in your words?
Well, I did the Dean Martin roast, as a matter of fact, you know, and I worked with Don Rickles on roast, and I've done stag roast, by the way. I can do a stag roast with the best of them, you know, you want to get down. But again, I'm old school. I find it, that kind of material is easy laughter or cheap laughter or nervous laughter, you know, talking about how fat someone is or how skinny someone is or just being just down and out and out blue, you know, just for the sake of being blue, you know. I find it easy material to write. That's, you know, let me put it this way. In your dad's era and as well, when I would watch a comedian before I was a comedian, I would watch a stand-up comedian on the stage and I'd go, wow, that's amazing what that man or that woman's doing. Not everybody can do that. And today I watch some of the young comedians and I say, anybody can do that kind of material.
I kind of feel the same thing. It's almost like some of the comedy is a stream of consciousness about some topic that is just really, you know, makes you uncomfortable. We talked a little bit about before the show about some sex act or something that just makes people not, I mean, it's edgy. But again, to me, and you've said this a million times, the only rule in comedy is be funny. And to me, there's almost a correlation. If the more risque it is and the more offensive it is, the more funny it has to be, kind of. I mean, that's kind of how I feel.
It better be clever.
Yeah.
You know, it just better
it's
be
gotta clever. It's got to have more. It's got to have more than
again, they always think pushing the envelope is saying the F word or something. I'm pushing the envelope, you know, which is not really pushing the envelope. But again, I say all this, and next week this girl will get her own series. She'll be the hottest thing in Hollywood, and be wanting to know if I want to work for her.
Let me ask you, if you are writing, say you were asked to do this dinner, and you're writing your roast, is there a place where you say, that's too far to go there? Or is everything fair game? Is it just on a kind of a joke-by-joke basis?
Yeah, you know, first of all, if I asked you this, if I said to you, Johnny Carson, Karen, was he a Democrat or a Republican? If I asked it, you'd say, I don't know.
I would have
no
idea.
You know why he didn't know? Because he didn't want you to know.
Right.
Because he poked fun at both sides. That we comedians should be trying to bring America together, not dividing America. I mean, that not that we have that political responsibility, but I always like to think the comedians of the past, you know, do you know that Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton revered Bob Hope? I'm guessing Bob Hope was a conservative. I don't know if he was or not. But they revered him, as well as Ronald Reagan and you know, Republican presidents like Bob Hope and Johnny Carson, because they poked fun at both sides of the aisle. That correspondence dinner should have done that. That's what the comedian should be doing. Cleverly poking fun at both sides and poking fun at the media. You know, that's part of your job. Not, you know, going up there and having people cringe over your material.
Well, next year, Tommy, I'm putting my vote in for you. You're going to be doing that if I have anything to say. So
I'll be writing for Michelle Wolf next year.
That's right, you will be on her new sitcom. Tommy Dreesen, thank you so much for joining us. Go back to the Cubs game, and we'll see you in Chicago. I know you've got some things coming up, and I know you'll join me in the studio when you do.
I will. I'll be there in June and July, and be glad to be with you anytime you want me.
All right. Tommy Dreesen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.